Can I have a couple of people help me with the communion? Paul told us to discern the body of Christ. He told us that the one reason that Christians are sickly and die early among you is because they do not discern the body of Christ. So we can look at this and add 1 + 1 and say that if we do discern the body of Christ, we can expect to have healing and health in our bodies. This is, you know, something, this is the number one treatment for sickness and disease that's ever been known to mankind. And it's not something that a man could ever come up with. It's God's medicine. He told us, he said, look, this is matzo bread. He said, make this matzo bread a certain way. Make it without yeast. And they have a certain size they have to make it. The reason it's made without yeast is because yeast is significant of sin in the Bible. Since we're discerning the body of Christ, we can understand that Jesus' body is and was 100% without sin. We look at this body, this bread, we can see that it's been beaten and pounded flat. And Jesus was beaten and bruised for us. You look at this bread and you'll see that it has stripes in it. The Bible tells us that it's by His stripes we were healed. And this bread has been pierced. Everywhere Jesus' body was pierced, He shed blood. And every time He shed blood, we get redemption in some area for it. His body was broken. And if you look at this bread, you'll see that it's slightly burned. That means the full wrath of God's fiery judgment. The judgment that was meant for us was laid on Jesus when He was on that cross. So when we take this, God wants us to see Him in His sacrifice. He wants us to see Jesus on that cross, holding all of our sins, all of our sicknesses, all of our diseases, all of our shortcomings. He wants us to see Him taking it all and putting you in a blessed position. So, Father, we're taking this broken body for our healing, and we thank You for it in Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus is the most powerful substance that's ever been known to mankind. And we still don't have a full revelation of it. But the blood of Jesus is still alive. I don't know if you've ever noticed, but if you cut your hand, that blood is going to dry up and blow away. But the blood of Jesus never dries up. Because it had no sin in it, it will not die. And it's still doing what God sent it to do. 1 John 1:7 tells us that the blood of Jesus continually cleanses us from all sin. And the blood of Jesus continually protects us. When we plead the blood of Jesus, ask God to forgive us and plead the blood of Jesus over us, He protects us. The blood of Jesus did something that no man could ever do. It made us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Literally, we are put in right standing with God. Because of what Jesus did. He paid for your sins. For all of them. Father, we thank You for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Isn't it funny how God works? He gives me notes to write down whenever, wherever. I wrote notes out on napkins. This happened to be on an envelope. Sometimes I have my notebook with me. Sometimes I have whatever I have, but he just gives me sermons. And sometimes I can have two or three pages of notes, and it only takes me 45 minutes to preach the whole notes. And then sometimes he gives me notes like this, and it takes me 3 or 4 weeks. The important thing to understand is you're not going to put God in some tidy little box. People try that all the time. Say, this is the way God works. Guess what? You don't know all that much. In the whole scheme of things, you have some experience in the way God works. But we really don't know all that much. Amen? I want you to open up with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11. We're going to retouch on this scripture because this has been the basis of our study for a while. We're talking about being in the right place at the right time. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11. It says, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of honor, of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happen to them all. Now, if we just take the world's view of that, it sounds like we're relying on luck. But if you really look into that scripture and find out the true meaning of that scripture, it's talking about you being in the right place at the right time so that right happenings can happen to you. Because we have a high priest, and his name is Jesus, and he's always at the right hand of God making intercession for us so that we can be in the right place at the right time. So that right happenings can happen to us. Sometimes people think that it's the most talented people or just the people, they come from the right family or they got the right education or they got the most talent or whatever. That's why they got blessed. That's not true. I just watched an interesting video here a while back about Larry Bird. Anybody know Larry Bird? I mean, even if you're not a basketball fan, you know Larry Bird. They said this guy was not athletic. He couldn't jump. He wasn't fast. But he was one of the most intimidating basketball players that has ever been known in the sport. He's the greatest. He always seemed to be in the right place at the right time. See, you don't have to be the most talented. Because it's not about you, it's about Jesus. And rely on His grace. Now I want you to turn over to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Now, part of being led by Holy Spirit so that you can be in the right place at the right time means you're going to have to lose your own human reasoning sometimes. What you're going to find out is that God doesn't operate by human reasoning. And sometimes things are not going to make perfect sense. See, we get so in tune with our five natural senses that we have certain ways that things ought to work. You know, certain things work this way because we did this. God is not trapped in the five natural senses realm. And in fact, we're supposed to be led by Holy Spirit, not our five natural senses. See, the world, they haven't quite got a hold of this. They call it the sixth sense. It's not the sixth sense. His name is Holy Spirit. See, he can tell believers, and in fact, the Bible tells us this, that as many as are the sons of God can expect to be led by the Spirit of God. See, sometimes we'll have to let our education go. We'll have to let what we've been taught go. We'll have to let what we've heard go. We'll have to let what Mama said go. See, the last couple Sundays we studied about Abraham. He got in trouble. He ran down to Egypt, and God told him, "Get out of there! I told you not to go down there." He got in a big mess in Egypt. You know, things were messy at home. So he ran to Egypt. God got him out of there and took care of him in the land where he was supposed to be. And then we found out how children do what they see you do instead of what you tell them to do. So Isaac, he got in trouble. He goes running down to Egypt. Said the same thing Daddy said. This is my sister, not my wife. God got him out of Egypt, got him back where he was supposed to be. And he did, you know, and everything made perfect sense, didn't it? He told him so. You know, they were in a famine, they were in a drought. That's why Isaac went running down to Egypt in the first place. Things got messy at home and he took off. I'll tell you something. If God doesn't tell you to go somewhere, don't go. It may be ugly, but if he doesn't tell you to go, don't go. If he tells you to get. If God specifically tells you to go somewhere, don't hang around long enough to ask your pastor for permission. People die sometimes because they don't get when they're supposed to get. And they don't stay when they're supposed to stay. People miss out on all kinds of blessings because they're in the wrong place at the wrong time. One good thing to do is tell God how much you need His protection and ask Him to protect you this day. Plead the blood of Jesus. You may be smart. You may be really intellectual, but you really don't know much. That's why we have to rely on the Holy Spirit guiding us. And then, you know, we get these little schedules. And we're going to go, you know, I mean, this is the way we do it on this day. You know, like what Jody said. She took off. She was going, you know, and Holy Spirit told her to go back, get your notes. Well, she could have said, well, the meeting's not until so-and-so, so I'm going to just keep on going so I'm not late. Well, guess what? The meeting's today. But she listened, she turned around, she got her notes, and carried on. So it all worked out. See? It's important for us to not be so iron-minded that we're going to design our own lives for ourselves. See, sometimes we have these really, really good plans. But I'll let you know that it's the good that keeps you from the best. We want to make sure that we listen to Holy Spirit so He can get us where we're supposed to be. it's not always going to make sense. That's why we need to trust in the Lord and lean not unto our own understanding. Now we're going to look at a couple scriptures over here. Let's go to Mark chapter 1. Verse 14. Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came unto Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel." And here's the thing. He was talking, remember, we always talk about it's important to find out who's talking and who they're talking to. Now Jesus was talking to Jews under the law. And he told them to repent and believe the gospel. He didn't say anything about getting on your knees and recounting all of your sins, did he? That's a biggie in the church world today. People want to get some guy that wants to get born again, they want to go in there in the room by themselves and say, okay, you ask God, you start naming off your sins. Ask God to forgive you of all these sins. That's bull. Repent means to change your mind. All they had to do is just change their mind about who Jesus was. Period. That's all they had to do. That's all Paul did. Did you know that? Paul got knocked to the ground, and he looked up and said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "You're Lord." He got up and he said, "You're Lord." Period. That's it. It doesn't mention anywhere in there about him asking God to forgive him. And then you can't find anywhere in the Bible where God ever reminds Paul of his sins. All Paul did was just repent, and then he got baptized. And then he got baptized again. So he got baptized 3 times. Did you know that? Paul got baptized 3 times. First one, when he got born again, he got baptized into the body of Christ. The Bible tells us when you get born again, you get swallowed up in Christ. You're part of the body of Christ. You're so swallowed up, you're not even the same. That means you got baptized into the body of Christ. That's the one baptism needful for salvation, to be born again. The second time, you know, he got water baptized, and he got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Paul happened to be in the right place at the right time. He was on the way to Damascus to persecute Christians. We're going to talk about that a little while later. Maybe not today, but we are going to talk about it. But Jesus said the kingdom is at hand. Right now, it's at hand. We're here. The kingdom of God is within you. In fact, when you get born again, the kingdom of God is within you. That's why people struggle to get to the right job or get to the right area or the right town so that they can be blessed, blessed, blessed. I fought with this for a while. I had a good job. I had my own house and had a really cool church that I liked to go to. And God was dealing with me to go somewhere else. And I said, man, I finally got myself in a place where I'm in the blessing. And he said, the blessing's on the inside of you. The kingdom of God is on the inside of you. You take the blessing wherever you go. Okay. You know, you can be blessed wherever you're at. Now, as long as it's somewhere God intends for you to be. There's a lot of people that design really cool ideas. You know, they know where there's a town that has a really cool school. And they have a really good job opportunity there, and there's a lot of really fun activities there. Maybe even they have some family and friends there. So they designed in their mind this perfect life. But the one thing that they don't take into account is, where does God want you to go to church? That should be the first thing. God will make everything else fall into place if you're where He wants you to be. If you're not where He wants you to be, get ready for the struggle. Even if you have the perfect job, the perfect school, the perfect friends, the perfect activities, get ready for the struggle to ensue. Because it's going to be there. Now, let's look over here to Mark chapter 14, verse 13. And we're going to look at something that just doesn't make sense. But who are we to decide what makes sense? But in the natural, sometimes things aren't going to make sense. But go ahead and trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Mark chapter 14, verse 13 says, He sent forth two of His disciples and said unto them, Go ye into the city, there ye shall meet a man bearing a pitcher of water, follow him. And wheresoever he shall go in, say ye to the good man of the house, The master saith, Where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? He will show you a large upper room, furnished and prepared there. Make ready for us. Okay, sometimes when you're reading the Bible, you need to understand a little bit about the geography, a little bit about the culture, a little bit about the time. Carrying water was woman's work. Yeah. It wasn't common to see men carrying pitchers of water. It could happen sometimes, but that was woman's work. That was one of their jobs. So Jesus told these two disciples, go in here, you're going to find a man carrying a pitcher of water. Could you imagine these guys walking down the road and saying, this ain't happening. What's he thinking about? A guy carrying a pitcher of water? He's going to send us looking for a needle in a haystack. And guess what happened? They went. They went ahead and went. It didn't make sense to them. You got to know they knew the culture. They grew up in it. You got to know that did not make sense to them. So then they get into town and there's a guy carrying a pitcher of water. Don't you know one of them had to say, how much did he pay that guy? Well, let's go ahead and see if he really does have an upper room here. They followed him up there, and more prophecies got fulfilled. But these guys were in the right place at the right time. Even though it didn't make sense in the natural. See, God doesn't operate in our traditions. He doesn't operate in our rule of law. He doesn't operate in the way we do things. He's trying to get us to operate in the way He does things, which is vastly different than the world. How many of you, when you in your school adventures, I called it a prison term for me. But they teach you in school, you need to go to 8 years of college, get a degree, and then go get a home mortgage and car loans so you can work for 30 or 40 years to pay it off. So you can retire just in time to live for 5 years and enjoy it. And maybe never get your school loans paid off. But God said, be a debtor to no man. He said, don't borrow money. But the world system tells you to borrow money. The Bible tells you that you're going to be a servant to the lender. And that's what you are. When you go into debt, you're a servant to the lender. You're working for the man. You may pay your house off. You may buy your house for $300,000, but you really bought it for $450,000. And it cost you $500,000 in irritation and aggravation and worry. There's something about the pride of man that makes them think that if they don't have something fancy, they're not blessed. And that couldn't be any further from the truth. God's system is about freedom. God's system is about keeping you out of slavery. We don't get taught that in school. So a lot of things that we get taught in school don't make sense to us in the spirit. You know, when God tells us something in the spirit and it goes against everything we've been taught, we say, oh, that can't be God. No, that's probably God. If it goes against everything you've been taught, you might want to check into that. You'll probably find it in the Bible. What God's trying to do is get his people to stop with the world system. Stop doing things the way the world does and do it the way Holy Spirit tells you to do it. Be led. Be sensitive. Anyway, these guys, they walked in there and they found everything just as he said. They had the Last Supper up there in that upper room. And Judas fulfilled a prophecy right there. I just wonder how they decided to all sit on one side of the table. So they get them all in the picture. Have you ever thought of that? Why didn't they just act like normal people and just sit around the table? Turn over to Mark chapter 11, and we're going to see another one. This one makes perfect sense. Mark chapter 11, verse 1. When they came nigh to Jerusalem, unto Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent forth two of his disciples. You got to understand what was going on at this particular time. Everybody, and all their relatives were in town from all over the place because it was a big celebration. There was a lot of people in town. So the place was crowded. It was packed. But anyway, he said unto them, he sent forth two disciples. I wonder who if he always picked the same two disciples or if he just give everybody an experience at this. He said, go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as you be entered into it, you shall find a colt tied whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord has need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. Well, okay. I don't know how many of you ever spent any time breaking horses, but the last thing I want to do is get on a colt that nobody's ever been on and ride him into a parade. That is not my idea of a good time. That was Jesus' intention, but that fulfilled a prophecy. That doesn't make much sense now, does it? Go get a brand new colt and ride him into a crowd? That's not. That's exciting, but it's not fun. Verse 4, I mean, these guys, they had to think about this. We're going to go find a donkey, unbroke donkey, and we're going to take him. Well, that makes sense, doesn't it? Well, they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met. They loosed him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, why, what do you loosen the colt? They said unto them, even as Jesus had commanded, and they went their way. He let them go. They brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him, and many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches of the trees and strawed them in the way. And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. That horse, that colt, that donkey got sacked out. I mean, they were throwing palm leaves down, they threw their garments on him, everybody shouting, Hosanna. It was a wild time. It was a big party. It was a big happening. Jesus rode that donkey right down through the middle of all of it. He fulfilled a prophecy. But these guys had to listen to him. Even though it didn't make sense, with all of their knowledge, all of their experience, everything they've ever been told, everything they've ever seen, everything they've ever done, they had to go against that. And just go ahead and trust in the Lord with all their heart. Lean not under their own understanding, they had to go forth and do what he told them to do. It's not always going to make sense. God tells you to do something, it may be, it may not make any sense at all to you in the natural. But just go ahead and go. If he tells you to go, go. You know, he told me to come down here, and I came down here and looked at it, and it was right after that great big fire, and this place was a mess. Where I've been living, there was green grass that tall and clover that tall, and it was wonderful, and it was nice, and it was great. Had a cool job, company pickup. And in my own human reasoning, it was like, God, you're telling me to leave the promised land and go to hell? Because, I mean, this place looked bad. And I couldn't see any opportunity. how does this work? I could see no possible way of success. I thought, and almost thought, man, I've been cast away. What did I do wrong? You know, I mean, it took a while for him to deal with me and talk to me about this. Okay. So he got me down here. He got us down here, got us set up, and things just keep getting better. And sometimes the challenges just keep getting greater. But he keeps winning. Sometimes we have everything all figured out in our tiny minds. And we think it's got to be, we go from point A to point B to point C, and everything's going to work this way, and this is how it's going to be. We don't really know. And see, this is what drives people crazy about walking in faith and being led by the Holy Spirit. They can't see around the corner. See, we're used to solid facts. That if we get up, drive straight down to the post office, we can get our mail and come straight back, and we got our mail and everything. We got our mission accomplished. If we get up, drive straight down to the grocery store, we can get our stuff, we can come back, and we got our mission accomplished. We know that if we get up in the morning, go to work at 8 o'clock, we're going to get off at 4 o'clock, we're going to go home, we're going to cook supper, mission accomplished. See how we get in these little tight little circles, these little bubbles that we get, and we get comfortable in them. And people are creatures of habit, and they get used to the same little circle where they're safe, and they don't like to get out of that little bubble because they don't know what's going to happen if they get out of that little bubble. So God tells them to go over here. So, but I'm on the way to the post office. I don't want to go to the dollar store. I want to go to the post office. Go to the dollar store. No. I check the mail every Tuesday at 2 o'clock. I don't go to the dollar store on Tuesday at 2 o'clock. Go to the dollar store anyway. Too many people drive by the dollar store and go to the post office when you should go into the dollar store. I got news for you. This might be a heavy revy for some of you, but you don't own yourself. God owns you. You belong to Him. And He has His best interest. He has your best interest at heart. He wants you to be blessed. And He wants you to be at certain places at certain times. How many times have you sat at the coffee table and said, you know, something told me to go over there, and I didn't go over there, and I missed out on a good opportunity? We've all been there. We've all sat at the coffee table and said, something told me not to go over there. I went over there anyway, and disaster hit. His name is not something. His name is Holy Spirit. And He's trying to protect you. He's trying to get you to not get in these little perfect little puzzles that you piece together by yourself. He may put a piece over here, then He might put a piece over there. And they may not connect today, but they will. And you'll see how He put them all together. And a lot of times, despite all of our human efforts and all the Ishmaels we may birth, He still gets us blessed. Have you ever gotten blessed and looked back and thought, how did that happen? I made a mistake over here. I missed this over here. I didn't do this right over here. And this was wrong over here. And I still got blessed? He's a good shepherd. He'll get us to places where we need to be in order to be blessed. We have divine appointments. We have special meetings with people. Some people may be, you may only see them one time, but they may have just the word that you need for your next step. Some people, it may be a lifetime appointment with them. We don't know. But He'll get us to certain places at certain times, especially if we'll just be reasonable and let Him lead us to these places. Amen? Thank You, Father, in the name of Jesus, for everything that You do for us every day. Father, we thank You in the name of Jesus that our high priest, Jesus, is always praying for us, trying to get us to be where we need to be so that He can bless us and make us be what He wants us to be. Father, You're the husbandman. Jesus is the vine. We're the branches, and we're totally dependent on You and Your life. You are our life source. We're depending on You to create in us what we need to be so that we can produce the fruit that You want us to. So we thank You for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we have snacks, coffee, and fellowship back here. Come on back, and we have a meeting.